Well, thank you very much. A pleasure to be in with you tonight, sitting in for ship's captain George Norrie as we cloak and waft our way through the night. Friday night is typically an open lines night, but I just can't resist, you know what I mean? But best of both worlds. Everybody hold your position who are on the lines, and we will get to you as we continue our conversation with Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller here on Coast to Coast AM. All right, part one of the zombie jambi weekend. That means by Monday I'll definitely be a zombie because, you know, you do this on Saturday nights, and that's fine if you're awake during the so long and the short of it is. I feel your pain because I'm not normally up at this hour either. Coast Insider won't do me any good. Anyway, look, let's go to, you know what I'm talking about. Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller have graciously accepted an invitation to stay around for a little bit longer, take some more of your calls. So let's talk to Tom in Mississippi, east of the Rockies. Definitely. Tom, are you still there? And thanks for holding if you are.
Oh, I'm still here. I'd be here until 359 and a half.
Good man.
I just love listening to you, John.
Thanks, man.
Well, my daddy was in World War II and I was in NAM. All right. You know, what the heck have we fought for if this is what we're getting right now? I mean, you know, I see all my freedoms and my friends' freedoms and all of the rest of them that's ever fought for it and people that haven't. They're getting their freedoms taken away from them. And a quick shout out to Art and all the rest of ABs. Sorry about that. I was going to do that the first time.
No, that's all right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you.
Well, that's disturbing, Tom, and you're our hero, dude.
Yes, he is.
Thank you.
I agree. The reason that we still fight is because people like you fought for our freedoms, and now we're losing them. And everyone who died on the streets, or on the streets of Germany and in the beaches of Germany and the beaches of Japan, that death is very, very sacred to us. And those who even fought and came back, even with a Purple Heart, that is very sacred to us. And we're fighting to restore those freedoms that the veterans brought to America and to honor those veteran sacrifices. So I thank you for serving as well.
Being a vet, I didn't serve in battle, but when I think of the guys that did, like Tom, that just called in, and my heart breaks. And it's not a matter of, was the war right? Was the war not right? It's not the matter of that. It's the matter of these were young kids that did what they thought was morally correct for their country, their mom and dad. And that's, you can't be any bigger of a hero. It doesn't matter if the politicians were right or not. That's irrelevant. And what's relevant is all these heroes did what they thought was right in their heart. The politicians failed you, yes. There's no doubt about that.
Well, there's a special spot in Hades for them. You know,
yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
You know what I was going to ask both of you, and really I was kind of pointing it toward Dan, because Stephen, you and I are around the same demographic, so... I mean, I carried a 1A draft card. They just never called me. They changed the card for a 1H later, but no S2 student deferment, none of that. I was just primed and ready to go. Where are the anti-war protests? I've got a lot to learn about all of this, and there is a lot to learn about this, but we had a draft back then. So you're drafting people into an undeclared war. Now we've got a volunteer army, and they're stretched. I mean, they're great. I mean, the U.S. military forces are unsurpassed. Everybody knows it. But I think we're spreading ourselves maybe a little bit thin. So I guess my question is, and I've said before in the air, you know, I do not want them used as mercenaries. If they're volunteers and they're being paid and the wars are undeclared, that doesn't look good to me. Now, it may be okay with other people, and even technically and quite literally it may be all right, but I don't think so. So where are the anti-war protests? Where is the pushing back against big government? Where is this pushing back against a increasingly, well, shall we say, harsh police state? Where are these protests? Where is everybody?
They're manipulating us, John. All these cell phone towers people see, those aren't just for my Sprint cell phone I'm talking about. This makes the public complacent. This high technology called Lily Waves, L-I-L-Y, I believe. It might be two L's, but don't quote me on that. But look up Lily Wave. And this is how they keep the public almost docile, like under electronic control. Do you have anything to expand on that, Dan, that you might have...
Well, I think there was a rising up against this type of police state. You had both the Tea Party and the Occupy movements. And both, if you trace them back, were started by people who wanted liberty and who were concerned that our freedoms were being taken away. If you read both the original Tea Party Declaration and the original Declaration of the New York City General Assembly of Occupy Wall Street, both express many of the same tenets, talking about being against the police state. So there is an uprising, but people are not joining that uprising in as large numbers because of the mainstream media and the excellent job, and along with the radio waves that he mentioned, the excellent job that mainstream media has done brainwashing the American populace so that if there is a resistance, most of it is underground.
Exactly.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, that's European style, isn't it?
Yeah, very well put. Yeah.
You know, well, they... I wonder how do you form a privacy group so that you can object to things like the facial recognition that Facebook it was using in Europe, but they're discontinuing. How do you do it? I mean, what are the physical steps you take to start a privacy advocacy group?
Like Dan, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dan.
I mean, seriously, how do you do it?
I mean, it's not much different than starting Panda, which is basically, in essence, it was beating my head against a brick wall hard enough that the brick wall broke and deciding that my skull wasn't going to break first. It is dedicating all of your time. It is trial and error. It is connecting with other organizations. And ours is not necessarily a privacy advocacy group, I would say, but more of a "We want your rights back" advocacy group. And they're all formed the same way. You have a dream. You have a vision. You go out and you make that vision happen. And you don't let anybody tell you that you're wrong. And you don't let anybody stop you from doing it. If anything, you use them as a catalyst for doing so.
Gotcha.
And if I may expand on what Dan said, now what I've been personally doing, I don't quite have the callous he's got, but I ride my bike every day. I live in a small town, relatively middle of Michigan, and I go to every restaurant, everybody I see, and I give them a little piece of paper. You ever heard of the NDAA, Military Commissions Act? I name them as many as I can. Right? No, I said, what is it? I briefly explain it because they're busy or whatever. They're walking the dog. And they say, "This is BS." I go, "Yeah, well, I know. I'm trying to protect your rights. Because if you don't know about it, how can you defend your family?" Well, this is BS. And of course, she owns the liquor store. So she puts up a flyer, and this is what I've been doing in a town of about 9,000 people. And if we can all do the same thing, imagine in even 3 months what would happen.
Yeah, the major population is not, the majority of the population is not located in these big cities. It's spread out, you know, it's the flyover areas. That's where the bulk of the population is. I mean, the math will show you that.
Exactly, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we got the net, we got phones, we have all of that, but the object is to get someone to actually move on it. Let's talk to Glenn. He's a first-time caller in Massachusetts. I hope he is still on the line. If you are, Glenn, come on board.
Yes, I am, sir.
Good to talk to you, John.
Thank you, Dan and Steve, for staying on longer.
No problem. And
I really find it interesting that you guys have this website, and I hit it already, but I'm very concerned about every time I hit a website like yours, it's going to be tracked. Every time I make a phone call, hardline, cell phone, and I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat, but I really think you say certain words like terrorist or this and that, that they're going to be tracked. And what are your thoughts on that?
You're right. Eight different agencies are listening right this minute. My girlfriend was in Afghanistan, a lieutenant colonel, Army, a National Guard. Eight different agencies are listening right this very minute. But I don't want you to be afraid, because that's what they want, because they're not militarily, logistically, or in numbers powerful enough to ever affect you. You're a small potato. I'm a small potato. John B. Wells, there's too many people around him. They're afraid. They're human. They just have a different agenda in life, and they think they're right. They don't think they're doing anything wrong. They think we're wrong, but they're far outnumbered, and they're human. They're afraid. So, yeah, they're listening to you. They know you went to Dan's website. You know you might go to coast, but they're not going to. It just goes in the computer. There's no human. Yeah, I was in the military. There's no humans doing this. There's humans.
I live in Massachusetts, where you have to go through hoops to get a license to carry, and then they
Then
they track what you buy for ammunition. So, you know, I reload now. I don't want them to know how many rounds.
Well, think about two things. Number one, if people listen into your conversation, if there is the chance that there's a human listening into your conversation, then and based on a lot of my sources, that eventually, if it gets to a high enough level, a human will listen into your conversation, because machines can only do so much. But if, in fact, a human is listening into your conversation, then what harm can you cause? What good are you doing? If they're continually listening in to people of a liberty mindset, and you keep telling them, look, I know you're listening into the call. I do this all the time. Hey, I know NSA agents listening into the call. Here, learn a little bit about liberty. You're on the inside, and you can do the best here. Brian from New American Media taught me that one. And the second thing to think about is Nazi Germany, and I know it's the elephant in the room. When I was in speech and debate, they said that you never refer back to Hitler or Nazi Germany, but that's where we are today. They had terrorist watch lists, but there was no one on them. They would pick random people off of the street and say that they were on a terrorist watch list, and that's why they were searched, and that's why they were detained, but there was never, ever a watch list.
Really?
So the thing to think about is we have a terrorist watch list no one has ever seen. But the very fact that they say there's a watch list changes people's behavior and changes people's actions.
Here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. All right, Glenn, thank you very much. How about Scott in Phoenix on the wild card line? Would you be there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Hey, Scott. Good to have you.
How are you doing, sir?
Doing all right, thank you.
Tonight is about the Repatriation Act. And if I'm mistaken, I'd like you guys to clarify that for me. I believe that the Repatriation Act can take the citizenship of an American, which would then make them eligible for the maximum punishment of the NDAA. Can you guys speak to that, please?
Well, I can touch on the law. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, and if you want to expand on this, then from a law perspective, I'm definitely not a lawyer, so feel free to. But you're talking about the Enemy Expatriation Act, EEA. And that act, there was a lot of what Stephen was saying earlier, is there's a lot of hoopla, and there's a lot of not misinformation, but blowing out the fear, and just fear does sell. Especially in the world we live in now. But the thing to think about in the Expatriation Act is it was a bill that pretty much died in committee. And there have been worse bills introduced, I guarantee you, that have died in committee. But everyone made a big, huge deal out of it and still continues to make a deal out of it. So the Enemy Expatriation Act did not go into effect by pretty much all odds will not go into effect. However, it's not to discount, because that is the way that the country is heading. So does that kind of answer your question on like a fear of the Enemy Expatriation Act there?
I guess that's what I wanted for you to clarify. I thought it was called the Repatriation Act. So maybe I just had it wrong to begin with. You were talking about the enemy expatriate act?
You are talking about the same bill I am, but it's the Expatriation Act, and yes, it would allow a person's citizenship to be taken, but think about this, and I don't want to cut it on Stephen's time.
No, you're fine.
Think about this. Who could hold and does hold all the proof that you are an American citizen if you are in their court, the American government? Do they need an Enemy Expatriation Act to all of a sudden go, you know, we don't see you as a citizen here, Mr. Smith, and I don't see any record of you being a citizen of the United States. So we're going to prosecute you as an enemy prisoner of war because that's what your records show. Do they need an act like that? They don't need it.
Wow.
And to expand on that, what Dan just said, and this is not to be extrapolated as any kind of legal advice. Any retard can look this up in Black's Law Dictionary, go to, you know, study your statutes. In other words, it's public information. It's not private. And I'm not telling you how to carry out anything. I'm just telling you the facts. And, so you have all these acts either in place or, you know, some judges are saying, well, we're not going to let this happen right now. Well, there's a bunch of other lawyers filing 20 motions at once trying to slow them down. That's what's happening. But anyway, back to the point, this has been going on for years, 1933 to now, what is that, 80 years or whatever, late at night, I'm sorry. But anyway, when you're brought into a courtroom, you're already expatriated. As soon as you raise your right hand, you're no longer a U.S. quote unquote, you're no longer a quote unquote U.S. citizen. And this is where they're fooling everybody. It's a magic act. So they're expatriating you as soon as you come in the courtroom, and they've been doing that for decades. So now you're expatriated under Title 50, Section 23, United States Code. You're expatriated under United States Courts and Justices under the Trading with the Enemy Act. You're no longer a citizen, and you don't want to claim to be a citizen anyway. It's not. I mean, I wouldn't claim to be a citizen. I'm a people of the States United, and that's where you separate the two identities. So they're already doing that, and they've been doing it for decades. As soon as you go in, you're expatriated, you're from another country, and they can take you to anywhere they want, do whatever they want with you, and the lawyer works for them. Remember that. The attorneys work for these guys.
That's, oh boy.
I think you're still there. I'm sorry, go ahead. So that's really what's going on, you know, in a nutshell.
Okay. All right, then. I'll tell you what, when I hear this stuff, you know, of course, it is my part to like keep it rolling here a little bit, but you really get me thinking about this stuff. So I'll tell you what let's do. Let's get to a few more callers here. I don't want to bring one on right at this moment because we'll only have a few seconds before we have to take another little break. So, when we come back, why don't we talk about, some preparation? Why don't we talk about a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel? And maybe even an idea of a timetable of how long you gentlemen think it may take before this intensifies to the unbearable point, which would also be the tipping point, at which point the citizenry would take over and do that nullify thing that we were talking about earlier. Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. All right, we'll carry on with Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller. The website is peopleagainstndaa.com, and type it in carefully or you'll wind up doing it twice, like I did. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. Talking with Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller tonight about the NDAA and all those things that infringe upon our freedom, and it's a real thing. It's no longer conspiracy theory. It's an actual conspiracy. Should always make it a point to stop by the Coast to Coast AM website, coasttocoastam.com. We have featured there Mars, ancient stream bed, the rocks that can only be formed by water flowing over them. They're nice, round, polished little numbers. Look like the ones you'd have in your little rock garden there. Heaven's Gate Cat, Coming to the night sky in the news, the comet 15 times brighter than the moon, driverless cars threatening to reshape automobiles and the transit system. A woman grows a new ear on her arm, has it attached to her head, but no, it's true. Paradox of hoaxes, source of monster black holes, energy jet identified. Wow. So stop by coasttocoastam.com every chance you get. Well, I mean, not every chance you get, but okay, every day. And we'll be back with Dan and Steven in just a moment. This is the one and only Coast. John B. and for Ship's Captain George Norrie tonight as we chat with Dan and Steven. And why don't we just go right immediately, just sort of like right now, immediate them all, to wildcard line. Rand in Maplewood, New Jersey, who's been holding for a while. Rand, are you still there? And if you are, come on board.
John B., I always like listening to you, and this is a really good show tonight.
Well,
Gandhi said, God is truth. And in light of that, is how come it is that there's just so many lies coming out of our government, not just about NDAA, but, I mean, it's just like on a weekly basis, you know, and American people just line up like they're in some kind of Orwellian cattle call and just accept this nonsense that's coming over your television as truth. And just in the last, like, couple of weeks, you know, I mean, it's just like every week there's something new that you can't even really, you know, get into one thing too much because there's, you know, the very next week there's something new coming on and hitting you over the head with it. But like the last couple of weeks, we had this ridiculous situation in Libya where the, you know, the ambassador was killed. And it was like the minute their logic came out with, you know, it was this video. I mean, it was just like, you know, it's like, what kind of stupid idiots do they think we are? I mean, I knew that was garbage the minute I heard it. And now today, finally, you know, they're starting to, like, you know, come up with some other answers. And, you know, right before that, there was the ridiculous situation with the killing of Osama bin Laden. You know, they showed the picture of Hillary Clinton with her hand over her mouth in the room with, you know, Robert Gates and Obama and everybody's, here they are watching it live. You know, it was all lies. They weren't watching it live. You know, and then they said he dumped his body out in the ocean. What, they're going to tell us next he washed up on Gilligan's Island? You know, I mean,
say, that's a good one. Well, and you know, the only thing that's more ridiculous in the story is the video itself. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but it's the dumbest thing you've ever seen. I mean, I challenge somebody to make a dumber film. It's so stupid, in fact. It looks like the government probably made it themselves. And more to the point, let's make a theory, let's make a conspiracy theory right now. It's like you got your patsy already. You got a guy who's not even supposed to be on the internet. So a guy who's on probation and is not supposed to be on the net, not supposed to let anybody use a computer on the net on his behalf unless he checks in with his probation officer, somehow puts this ridiculous film together that I repeat is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And it's been out since midsummer, supposedly. So here we go. Yes, the entire Middle East is on fire because of this video. Oh, that YouTube again. I mean, give me a break.
Well, you see,
I'm done.
It worked. No, yeah, it worked very well because you have even Russia coming out and saying either they. I know recently they came out and said they wanted to censor YouTube. I'm not sure if they have actually taken it offline. Pakistan has taken YouTube down. Several other countries have taken YouTube down. So their goal to take YouTube out of those countries, if that was the goal, and considering the fact that he had been flipped, if you read Russia Today, they had an article on he was in trouble for PCP, and the government had flipped him. So he was working for the government on several occasions. If that was the case and they wanted censorship in those countries, it worked like a charm.
You know, somebody sent me an email that was like, you said that they should take that video down off of YouTube. What's the matter with you? Are you, like, against the First Amendment? It's like, no. That's why you should become a Coast Insider immediately so you can play it back. What I was saying was, since our government doesn't seem to have not only any qualms, but no qualm whatsoever about breaking the Constitution whenever they feel like they need to, why would they leave this video up? I mean, where was the, well, we've got to take this video down for reasons of national security. This is fomenting, you know, unrest, and we just can't have this. It's like, I bet if they wanted to bad enough, it would have come off of there. And I mentioned you can't type certain words onto Facebook. It won't let you post the message. Firearms that's, comes to no, mind.
That's very well. I never thought about that until you just mentioned that, John. You're exactly
I don't believe that for a minute.
I don't either. Yeah, that makes total sense. Like, scary sense.
No, I don't believe that you never thought of it.
No, I really didn't. It did. I mean, it didn't dawn on me until the way you just proposed it. It's like, you're right. I mean, if it was seriously a national security issue with all their other draconian powers they're pulling out of the hat, yeah, they would just yank it. I think it's still available.
Well, it is. I looked at it today to see if it was still up. It's still up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the future. You have the FBI recently released a memo saying that they expect there to be protests and unrest against that film in the United States. Well, as you two gentlemen, some of the more awake gentlemen in the entire country on this call know, or on this show know, is when they put in a memo like that, they'll try their best to make it true, even if it's not true in the first place. So you have in the New York subways, you have advertisements going up that are very racially offensive. And technically, a public subway should not have advertisements, but that's going in a different direction entirely, especially if they're advertisements for or against a religion.
Right.
But point being, just as you said, why isn't it a national security issue? Let's get rid of these advertisements. Not that it should be, but why haven't they taken that tack if they've taken that tack with everything else?
Exactly.
Well, I'm looking at it right here. U.S. intelligence now says attack deliberate and organized. Well, duh. Like everybody just showed up with, RPKs and the good old RPG-7s, you know, that old stuff. Actually, they're pretty good now. You couldn't hit the ocean with them a few years ago, but they're good now.
They texted each other the day before saying to their Facebook smileys saying, bring your RPG tomorrow.
Yeah, everybody meet at the undisclosable location, the ambassador's house.
Yeah.
You know, and without going into a bunch of detail here, guys, because I don't want to get into anything could be construed as singling a group out, but it's like there appears to be reason for concern that this man was sent into a hot zone like that, and there were some things about him that are rumored to have attracted the attention of some of the more radical elements over there. Now, to me, this may be just another bit of the waterfall of disinformation, because it comes from everywhere. That's another thing. Let's talk about this for a minute, Dan and Steven. And that is, how do you discern without a really big staff what is what's real and what isn't? You know, for example, just so what if the government did really put that video there? I mean, what if this thing was set up, you know, months ago, no big deal. We'll put a piece of video up there that's going to incense people, at least theoretically, and that'll be the pretext for this attack. I mean, how far in advance do you think these people really know about these things when the administration comes up with these lame excuses and the $70,000, you know, advertising campaign? Oh, the U.S. government had nothing to do with this film. We deplore it. We condemn it. We don't like it. We hate it. It's just...
Well, here's how I personally tell. If it's a staged event, if you will, or if it's something that just, you know, somebody went nuts and did something really bad.
Because that does happen.
Oh, it happens all the time. But if it's something that's not staged, capital N-O-T, it won't make the news. It'll be in the local newspaper, like some kid, you know, shot his family and his neighbors, and it won't even make the mainstream news. If it's something that some big name was behind, I won't say which lettered agency or whatever, but it'll be on every news station for days, days and days and days. And that's kind of how I can tell. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. What about that, Dan?
Well, he's right to an extent. He is right that you can look to see how big it gets blown out of proportion. And a few things on this. Number one, often we only tell that these are false flags or that these are staged events in hindsight by looking at the facts afterward. And number two, another way that I look at it is looking at trends. Okay. So we are trending toward a serious police state. Does what I'm seeing match that trend? And if it does match that trend, I tend to accept that as more fact than I would another thing. But the last part I would note on this is we have to really think, with all this information coming at us from left, right, and upside down and all over the place, besides for the history book, or if one is writing a book, does it really matter that you can tell what a false flag is, or what disinformation is here, or what disinformation is there? Leave that to people who need to study it. Again, action. Does studying something is studying something that's happened in the past and that has effects on the future, is that interesting? Of course.
I get the point, yeah. In other words, they're making their agenda come to life. It doesn't really matter who's getting involved in delineating, you know, well, was this, you know, real or staged or... I get, yeah, makes complete sense, man.
Okay. All right, good. Well, you know, separating from the wheat from the chaff, that's the whole thing. It's that, it's the old raw intelligence is never unambiguous. It's always ambiguous. Let's take one from that wild town out there in the desert, Las Vegas. Anthony, that's way west of the Rockies, I think. Yeah, it is. I'm looking at the map right now. Anthony, are you there?
I'm here, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for hanging so long. Appreciate you.
No problem. What I just wanted to speak about, the fact is that this NDAA was overwhelmingly passed by Democrats and Republicans. I believe it was authored by Carl Levin, which is a Democrat senator, and John McCain, the person who was campaigning against Obama in 2008. Now, problem with that is people are going to go to this upcoming election in November thinking that these candidates don't support this, and that's the fact is that they do. This government supports this Orwellian 1984 mass surveillance. And the only way to stop it is to stop voting for them.
Well, you got a point there. It's, I pick on both sides. You know, it's I've said this many times. I'm alternately a Zionist, a Nazi, a left-winger, a hard-right nutcase, depending on what part of what sentence somebody hears. I don't trust either side. This latest revision of the NDAA was a completely bipartisan effort. And as you said, it was approved. Like, almost everybody approved it. So,
and you make a very good broad point there, because people say, oh, we're in such a gridlock in our nation. There's such gridlock. Nobody can agree on everything. So then, as you said, they all agree on mass surveillance. Well, if no one can agree on everything, explain to me how bills like NDAA, that was 93-7 in the Senate, and H.R. 347, which restricted the right to protest, that's the Federal Restricted Buildings and Grounds Act, how that passed through the Senate 97-0.
Is that the one where the Secret Service can arrest you? I'm sorry, is that the one where the Secret Service can arrest you even if you're in the vicinity and you don't even know there's a head of state in the area, you can be detained?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay,
now,
sorry, go ahead.
Like I said, he makes a very good point there. They come together on these issues. No one can tell me that this Congress was not complicit in NDAA and is not bipartisan. In fact, they might as well just be one party, demon Republicans or Republicrats, because of the way they are so easy to come together on bills like H.R. 347, no fanfare, no coverage, and no signing statement even, slipped right through, and only 3 dissent out of 535 members. You make a very good point there, sir.
Yeah, and if you look at it, I mean, Congress is ceremonial, and they have been for a long time. It's all just there for looks on C-SPAN or whatever. They have zero power. They're under the authority of a dictator. And they have been since Bush. And I go back to Reagan when I was in the Army, and you know, and I voted for him, and I didn't really realize politics like Dan does. I was about Dan's age, 83. And I started waking up to it in the late 80s, going, what? You know, I read a lot. And then I understood what was going on. And Reagan, as much as I liked the guy at the time, he's the one that told the media, no more talking BS about the White House or me or you carry the water for us, or we pull your press pass. And that's a fact. You can look it up. Anyway, to cut a long story short, which is hard for me to do, when you look at the spectrum of what's going on, what's the grand conspiracy? Why would they do all this and pass this draconian one piece of legislation after another? And it's been going on for a long time. Why? Okay, and this goes to what is going on in the world. Look at the forest fires, the earthquakes, everything that's going on. It's almost cataclysmic, if you will. And they know this, okay? It goes in cycles. This goes to Brent Miller and who I've talked to, and another one is Brooks Agnew, is very good. Can explain the science better than me. But, well, the owners of the world, if you want to call them that, that's what they feel they are, the queen and everybody else. Well, they see this coming between war and pole shift and everything else. So do you think they're going to leave the gold up here on the surface with the indentured servants, us serfs? No, yeah. Of course not. They're going to rake the gold and silver back in, cause a huge chaos so we're all confused so they can run. And that's what's really going on. And that's the good news, because they're going to all disappear and we can start all over fresh. And here's some really good news about radiation, which I can back this up scientifically. It can be negated. And it shows Congress is ceremonial. I mean, they have no power. They're a joke. They know who puts the butter on their English muffin, okay? They have the technology to negate radiation right now in 24 hours, and they're not using it. They won't sign the paperwork. You have to ask yourself why. Who's in control? Okay, so that's the good news, because once they're gone, they take all their buddies and go underground or whatever, we can take this technology, which is similar to boron, but it's on steroids, and that's the end of Fukushima and the other meltdowns that'll happen. It can be negated in 24 hours, and they know this. It's a fact. Research A.C. Griffiths and follow his bibliography, the people he worked with in World War II and stuff, and I'll tell you, this is a fact. It's a weighable, measurable fact. They can negate radioactive isotopes, and they're not doing it because they want to depopulate people.
You guys are just too much fun. That was a very fast hour. Stick around with us for a little while. We've got to take a hard break now with our guest tonight, Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller, the website peopleagainstndaa.com. Check it out and stay with us, will you? This is Coast to Coast AM.